as we learned after we came back. Okay? Again, some of them were a little brief here. My fault because of my illness, but I want to make sure that we don't let Torah slip out of our hands. We learned these couple blot. Beautiful topics. Let's review them. I'm not going to rush today. If we have to continue tomorrow, we'll continue tomorrow. This is Torah. We don't let Torah slip out of our hands, especially now. So the first issue we spoke about was the Braisa. If you remember, that's why I wanted you to bring the Gemaras. If you have the Gemaras, so you can at least tag the concepts to the Gemara, at least have some set of coordinates, especially since we skipped around a little bit, was on Tesamid Beis. On Tesamid Beis, there was a strange line in the Mishnah that you could be partially responsible, but then pay full amount. Sharti b'mixis nisko. We'll get to that line. But the first line of the Mishnah was, kol shachafti b'shmira serach sharti is nisko. The Gemara quoted a Braisa that was roughly parallel to the Mishnah. The Braisa said, what happens if you give an animal or boar to a chereshot v'katan to watch? And there's a contrast in the Braisa. You're chayiv for the shor and the boar, you're pater for the esh. So it didn't really appear in the Mishnah, but more or less similar to the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about the chiyuv, if you contributed to the nezek, you're chayiv for all the nezek. And this is a parallel braisa. These are all the sheets we have. Okay, I'm not sure if we have enough sheets, everyone. We'll figure it out later. Now, the big, big mystery, in the Gemara is, the sheet, what situation are you chayiv if you give a shor and a bar to a chereshot v'katan? And what situation would you be comparably pater an esh? The shor has to be similar to the esh, or else the braisa wouldn't be contrasting it. If I give a shor and a bar in condition A to a chereshot v'katan, I'm chayiv, and that same condition, I'd be pater for esh. What's that condition? So the Gemara splits it, look at the table, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and according to Reish Lakish. You can look at your table. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's relatively easy. Why? Because Eish is odd. Rabbi Yochanan has a strange sheet about Eish, that whoever touches the fire, it becomes his. We call that Eishim Mishum Chitzav. So basically, you gave an untied shor and an uncovered bor to Rechoshat V'gat, and of course you're chayiv. You gave him something which is about to damage a minute after you gave it to him. It's gross pshia. But if you gave that similar shalhevis to a chereshot v'katan, even though logically you're giving him a hazard that's going to erupt in a second, because of the unique dynamics of Eish, you're pater. So in Rabbi Yochanan's world, it was easy to make sense of this braisa. What shor are you giving? A shor migu, a shor mutter, not mutter to eat, but untied. And a bar megula. So of course you're chayev. Why are you pater by Eish in a comparable case? It's an Eish idiosyncrasy. Because Rabbi Yochanan says, whoever holds the Eish becomes the owner of the Eish. In this case, the chereshot v'katan de-eishesizes you, deauthorizes you as the Eish. You're not the owner of the Eish. The real excitement happened in Reish Lakish. That's why most of this table is Reish Lakish. Again, if you just got the sheets, we're on this sheet. Reish Lakish does not hold that Eish is that different from other Masikim. So again, find me a case which is comparable in which the Shar, thank you, everyone have sheets, in which the Shar would be Chayiv Keshachar Katan and the Eish would be Pater. Sigmar is a strange, strange scenario. Where you gave a Shar tied up in a bar covered, you're Chayiv, and a comparable Kol, which is like a tied Shar and a covered bar, you're Pater. Because shor darka lintuke, bor darka linture, gachas kamen dekamen ami amivaza. The mystery is what type of shor kasha was it? A real tie, not a tie? If you tied it, why you chayev? That's the needle we have to thread right now. We have to thread that hole. Whenever you have to thread a hole, your distinctions have to be very sharp. You have to find an offset between shor and bor and esh. So some rishonim pretty much default out of the concern. They say something so extreme that it really doesn't help us. It's such a, like the Ravid. The Ravid says, all the way to the right of the table, we're talking about where you gave a shor that was tied, but not really tied. And the bar was covered, but not really covered. Really loose tie and flimsy covered. And of course you're chayiv because it's a pshia. It's like not covering at all. And you're pater because of H reasons, because a kol will normally go out. So kols normally go out. It's not a gross pshia. Whereas the nature of shors, if you don't tie them up properly, is that they'll damage. So unattended coals will go out. Unattended or loosely attended animals will break free and do damage. The big question is, great. That's the chiddush of the braisa. That loosely attended animals will break free in a few minutes, and loosely covered boros will be uncovered in a few minutes, but loosely non-attended coals will go out. You need a braisa to tell me that. So the Raiva took a very extreme position. So, you know, logically it makes sense. The problem is it makes so much sense that why do you need a braisa to tell me? So anytime you go to that extreme, you say it makes so much sense, that might have a braisa. So the Rishonim have to be a little more moderate. Have to find something which makes sense, but it's not something I know on my own. Always have to moderate your logic. Because otherwise, if it's so positive, the Gemara says, pshito. Yeah, that's what you have to tell me. So Rishonim is struggling to find that needle, right? Doesn't thread a needle. It just says it's so extreme. Anyway, you have sheets. So maybe ask Alex to help you get the sheets, to organize it. Okay. So Tosfos has a shita that we didn't spend that much time on. We just question, like, why he even says it. Tosfos says that a shor and a bar, the cheresh of Kadin, they're going to mess with. So when I give a shor that's tied up, even with titanium, I have to assume the cheresh of Kadin is going to play around. He's going to play around with the bar. But Aish, and I give him a call, he's not such a pyro, he's afraid of the Aish. So I would say real pshia, because even though I tied it up, the cheresh of Kadin is going to play around with it. So I shouldn't give the cheresh of Kadin. It's a real pshia. It's like, you know, setting up a bomb to explode my titanium shield. In 2 seconds, the titanium is going to be undone. Whereas the Aish is probably going to go out. He's afraid of fire. Now, the problem with Tosfos is a little pasha, less pasha than the Ravid scenario. The other problem is the language of the Gemara. When the Gemara offsets Shor and Bar versus Aish, Shor darko lintuke, Bar darko lintuke. It didn't say Aide Chershot Fakata. It's not like it's internal. Shor can undo, Bar can uncover, Aish will go out. Doesn't sound like it's gauging the interventional impact of the Chershot Fakata and Shor and Bar versus the. That's a real problem with Tosfos. Rashi had a shita, which we just like talked about in general, again, just to show you the flow of the sugya, where the animal will probably be undone in a few minutes, not a few minutes, but in the passage of time. And therefore, by giving it to the Chereshat of a Katan, you were poshea, like the Ravid. But the Chinesh is, in the end, the Chereshat of a Katan did it. It's not the Chereshat of a Katan just ignored it and it unloosed itself by its own, which is the Ravid scenario. You gave such a flimsy set of chains that it undoes itself by its own. No, you were poshea. But you know what? There was a deviance. You were poshea, but it really wasn't your pshia that led to it, because the Chereshat V'Katan got his hands involved. And you're chayev, and by Aish, you really want poshea, because it's going to go out on its own. That sounds a lot like a scenario which we're going to talk about in Chafes called Tchilaso B'Pshia. You did the worst thing possible, B'Savo B'Ones. You let an animal, you dug a, built a wall around an animal that the animal could basically dig underneath, Chafes and Aleph, and then a lightning blew the wall up. So, what do we say about Chilas B'Shavionis? It sounds like if you hold Lechaya, then it would work the Rashi. The Sugya, we didn't get into it because I didn't want to like go off to Chilas B'Shavionis. The Rambam was the interesting case. The Rambam talked about, again, just to not go into the Rambam, where since animals at some point will get loose, and bars at some point will uncover, whereas the trajectory of the coal is to become extinguished, therefore you're Chayiv, even immediately. Like, why? If I know that the clock is ticking, and I have a year or two till the animal's chains become undone or the bar becomes uncovered, I'm out of pshia for that time because I can time it and come back and check. So why am I chayav? The answer is you walked away. Okay, I walked away from the Aish also. The answer is, as the Rav suggested, is that to be chayav for pshia, it's not enough to be pshia that leads to an esek. This is our first encounter with a new model of Baba Kama. You have to be pshia about a mazik. And a shor is still called a mazik even when it's tied up. Because at some point, it will return to its mazik capacity. Because in 10 years, it's going to still, you haven't demazikized it, you haven't defanged it, you haven't decleated it. So you're upset about a mazik by walking away and not being available to continue to watch it or threatening. Whereas, an Aish, since it's on its way out, it's no longer a mazik. Even though right now you touch the coal, it's really hot, but it's not really a mazik, it's just on its way out. So you're upset about something who wasn't a mazik, and it did damage. The Torah does not mechayev you for every pshia. It does mechayev you, as we'll see later, only for things that are mazik, which is why Karen Tom, maybe Pater, the whole discussion we had this, because it's not really a mazik yet, to gore, your friendly neighborhood milking animal, until it does it three times. So that was a big takeaway from the Rambam. But again, you don't have to know every little turn and twist in the circuit, but just have a sense. What does this issue come up? Decimate base. Why does it come up? What's the contrast? In your mind, the fact that Gemara could be a shor or bor, that's interesting. If bor is really so strange, why is bor alongside of shor? And the Yovlin's world is not such a problem, because for him, it's not that shor and bor are similar, that H is so different than. According to Shlakish, it's interesting that Shor and Bor are similar. It could be that even though they're so different, the Tzad HaShave is you're only chayiv if it has a Shei Mazik. Whereas Ba'esh doesn't have a Shei Mazik because it's on its way. Okay? That was the first sugya we looked at. The next sugya we looked at, okay, the next sheet is Bor, and we use the opportunity for Bor. If you don't have a sheet, I'll print some more because I know maybe you didn't get the right sheet. But just let's keep it moving. This sheet right here. Now, how did we get to this topic of Bor? Okay, it says on the top, Chiyuv Bor, updated table. How did we get to this topic? I wrote it at different times, different pens. So how did we get to this topic? We got to this topic because the next line in the Mishnah was very provocative. L'chsharti b'miksas nisko, chafti b'tashlimi nisko, ki l'chsharti kol nisko. Partial liability, full payment. Or partial negligence, full liability. So the Gemara went on a scavenger hunt. And it found the solution, a scenario that would fit that headline. So, what about this? What about that? What about this? And those three whatabouts create a lot of lambdas. So the case where partial responsibility, full liability, partial negligence is the bor. You dig 9, I dig the 10th. Machlokas Rebbe and the Rabban. And he goes, oh, what about a shomrim? What about people that add fire? What about five guys sitting on a bench and the sixth guy comes? Okay, so the Gemara's answers for all of those. But that was the entree. It's not like the Gemara was just thinking up crazy cases. It was a line in the Mishnah that caught our attention. We found the scenario that fits that description. And we says, what about these others? And one by one, the Gemara cancels. And well, you can't say that's the Mishnah because it's either all or nothing. So let's focus on how much time we'll have. Let's focus on the first scenario. The first scenario was boar. Now, I wrote a table for you, and I tried to segment the table into old and new. The first of your old issues, we talked about boar before we hit Daf Testament Base and Daf Yudim and Aleph, which talks about Reuven digs 9, Shimon digs 10. The second part are all the things we talked about, number 4, as when we developed Machlokas Rebbe and the Rabbanan. So 4 is all Rebbe and Rabbanan issues. 5 and 6 are boar topics we happen to come across on Daf Yudim and Aleph, if you remember, Tvua and Kalim and Karka. So really, this is a mosaic of 3 different boar conversations. 1 is the old stuff. 2 is the Machlokas Rebbe Rabbanan, Reuven does 9, Shimon does the 10th. 3rd is like a little survey of nice boar issues that came up. So let's first start with the old boar issues. Okay, this is now, at this point, Chav Zayin, whatever, Chav Gimel, Cheshvan, Tafshin Pei, hey, this is Tafei Dalet. This is right now we're up to in boar. We'll have to constantly update this table as we get more information about boar. So the first 3 things we saw before we hit, this is old Elo stuff, is boar. Basically, even though you don't own it, it's a shesarabim, it's a hole, you can't own a hole, it's a space. But even though it doesn't accord with the normal rules of Bailus, asan akosu kilu b'shusa, the Gemara, if you see on Chav Testament base, that you're chayv because you own it, like your cow, she owns something you own, whatever, mamam shia, but you own it. Who remembers the cousin of boar? What else do you not really own but the Torah puts into your rishus? Chametz v'hesach. So it was shoehorning boar into normal mamona shehisek. Or bar is very different. You're not chayv because your item did damage. You're chayv by creating a hazard. It's tziras hamasek. Remember the language of the Gemara, Mem Testament Beis, al iske kriya upsicha ba'alo. The mechayv is not what happens. The mechayv is creating a hazard. Of course, if someone gets damaged, you're not going to pay. The mechayv is not the damage which we trace back to you, but the creation of a mazik, which ends up leading to some loss which you're going to be responsible for. Now, we took a look at, which effectively means, is bar normal, the right part of the table? Or is boar irregular, the left part of the table? We saw 3 nafkaminas before we even hit dafyot. Nafkamina number 1 is the Rashba suggested that even though the Mechilta by boar says, ain on shemama min adin, we talked about this yesterday, that's not reflective, as Tosfos felt, of the Mechilta's broad-scale opinion that ain on shemama min adin. If you interviewed Mr. Mechilta, or in this case is Rabbi Shmuel, say, yeah, I hold on shemama min adin. Look at Bava Kama. And we're a tri-still in caring from change, and it just fails, but at least in theory, it was willing to be Mechayev one from the other. Boar is just different. And that's why when the Mechilta talks about why the Torah is to be so deliberate and bore, doesn't give the answer that the Bavli says, oh, to teach you Iskei Kriya Psicha, says, you know what, I can't learn that if you dug a bor yachayev, if you open a bor yachayev, certainly if you dig a bor. Who knows? Maybe only if you open a bor yachayev. You can't learn Kal Vachomer's by bor because bor is so different. The second issue in bor we saw is we saw a machlokas between Rashi, Daf, Dalada, Gimelam and Aleph, and Tosos, Daf, Yudam and Aleph. If someone dies in a bor of Tess, not someone, but an animal. Why you pater? Rashi said, because we know scientifically that a boar of test doesn't kill. That height impact doesn't. Tosos and Daf Yud said, no, ain regilus of that boar. Maybe this particular animal died in a boar of test, but since this boar typically doesn't kill, it was an aberration, you pater. Tosos, Daf Yud, Amin Aleph. Aruch Tosos. Dibur Masal Lichacha. Which means that Rashi seems to be taking a classic approach, that you're high for the action, and therefore the only way to pater death in a boar of test is say, it's not really your fault. We're supposed to say, you're chayiv for the potential. And since when you dug a bor in September of 19th, it doesn't really create a death hazard. Something strange happened. So even though we know that your animal died in my bor from the fall of 19th, I'm patur because I didn't create a death hazard. I don't have to cover deaths. The third issue we saw, if you remember, on Daf Nun Aleph. What happens if an animal falls into a bor of 6th from a height of 4th? Let's say the animal falls in torso first. So the impact is yitvachim. So essentially, it's the same thing as Rashi tells us. We know that your boar created impact of 10th vachim, a height of 10th vachim between the animal's torso and or the animal's vertebrae, and the impact of the boar is a 10th vach space. So we know the boar killed the animal. Are you chayef? In Pasha the Gemara, it seems like you are chayef, and the only case where you put in a boar above is if it falls backwards and there's only an impact of 6th vachim. Whereas the Rashba said, no. Since animals can fall backwards, even if they fall frontwards and there's an impact of 10, this boar killed, you'd be pater. So again, it's the same Rashi Tosas issue. Are you putter by a bor only if we can determine that the bor didn't kill, a bor of tes, a bor of less than yud? Or you putter by a bor less than yud, even though we can prove scientifically that it died because of the bor, a strange thing happened, or the impact of cumulative, you putter because you didn't create a bor that is a widespread death hazard for everyone. Those are the three issues we thought about before we talked about some other things, Zav Lamisa, Zav Lanezikin, what does that really mean? But these are relatively side points. Okay. Now we come across on Daf Yud, the main show. The main show is the Machlokas Rebbe and the Rabbana. Let's say Reuven digs tes, and Shimon comes and finishes the 10th Tefach. So Rebbe gives the normal pshat, right? What you and I and everyone would say. And for Nezikin, Reuven Sali Chayiv. But for me, I'm sorry, for Nezikin, they're both Chayiv. For Misa, it's only Shimon. Reuven only dug 9, so he's out of the picture for Misa. But if something gets damaged, then, you know, why is Shimon exonerating Reuven? Reuven actually dug more than Shimon. That's Shitas Rebbe, and that makes perfect sense. It's Shitas Rabbanan that needs some explanation. According to the Rabbanan, Shimon's Chayiv, Mr. 10, for everything. Not just for death, which he uniquely caused, but even for the damage, which Reuven did more. Why would the Rabbanan say that Shimon displaces Reuven? Achar Achron Lishneim, Misa B'Linezikin. That's the interesting sheet. So one way to say, no, this doesn't prove that Bor is special. Bor is regular. But here, Shimon effectively removes Reuven's digging. Since Shimon wants to get to 10, it's like he dug a new Bor of 10. It's like he filled it up and dug it, and it's called Silak Maisa Rishon. We saw the language of the Gemara, Silak Maisa Rishon, in the source of the Machlokas and Daf Nun Aleph and Mibes. So it's not like you don't say anything Bor, it's just Silak Maisa Rishon. Let's say your animal goes and is about to, bite the peros, and then I like basically take the animal, pick it up, carry it to Tunisia, and carry it right back to the peros. So whatever negligence was yours as part of the nice and nice, I totally removed. It's like I filled it in and then redug it. Silik my solution, but it doesn't prove that bor is special. Or, as we saw in the Meiri, no. You know why Shimon's chai for everything? Because the nature of the chi of bor is whoever created the hazard. Whoever puts that last nuclear warhead on, even though the first guy's dynamite bomb could have just caused damage, whoever creates the final lethality, he is the Yotzer Hamazik. By adding a component and weaponizing it even more for death, not just for Nezikin, a qualitative addition, not just Yud to Yud Aleph, but I converted it from a hazard that would cause Nezikin to a hazard that would cause death, I'm considered the Yotzer Hamazik, and this becomes then the machlokus between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Rabbanan felt that bor is normal. Since bor is normal, Reuven and Shimon should share liability for Nesek, at least. Misa, of course, is Shimon's, but. Whereas the Rabbanan felt, no, bor is special. We're Machai of the Yetzer HaMazik, and the Yetzer HaMazik, potentially one way to view the Machlokas. So how do we view Shitas Rabbanan? So now it becomes a sub-Nafgamina. Now we're going to a second lower layer. How do we view Shitas Rabbanan? Are the Rabbanan really saying, by obligating Shimon for everything, that bor is different? Or no, they're just saying, Silik Maisa Risha. So we saw 4 test cases. One question was, what if Shimon takes it from 6 to 7. Not from 9 to 10, from 6 to 7. So if Shimon's collective, comprehensive chiyuv by 9 to 10 is he was misalik, everything that Reuven did, he's now the only bor digger. So the idea is you go from 9 to 10, or you go from 6 to 7. By my digging your bors, because I like dug the entire amount. So you'd be chayiv, which is what the Rabbeinu Yonason says. Whereas, if the machayiv of Shimon, the sole chiyuv of Shimon's because he weaponized it to death, 6 to 7 would not be sufficient, which created a problem with the second Nafgamina. Because what happens? Someone goes from 10 to 20. So you'd say the reverse. 10 to 20 is the logical inverse of 6 to 7. If the Chiyav follow the 3 cases, 9 to 10, 6 to 7, 10 to 20. If the Mechayev follow this logic, the Mechayev of 9 to 10 solely on Shimon is because he was Mesalik Maisa Rishon. So you'd expect 6 to 7 and 10 to 20 to be, according to the Rabbanan, completely Shimon's. There's no difference between 9 to 10, 6 to 7, 10 to 20. The second guy is completely removing. So just like the Ben Yonasan says that according to the Rabbanan, Shimon is Mesalik Maisa Rishon from 9 to 10, and according to the Rabbanan, Shimon is Mesalik Maisa Rishon from 6 to 7, they should also say from 10 to 20. The problem is, the Gemara says that when Shimon does 10 to 20, they share the Chiyuv. That's the problem in Rabbeinu Yonasan. Whereas according to Miri, it's hunky-dory. 9 to 10, you create weaponization. 6 to 7, no weaponization. And the Miri says, Yishirchiv, it's not only on Shimon. 10 to 20, you also don't add weaponization. That's what the Gemara says. 10 to 20, they share the Chiyuv. So in terms of the broader calculus of these 3 scenarios, the Miri makes more sense. We didn't try to solve Rabbeinu Yonasan, we just took a look at this matrix. Again, according to Rabbeinu Yonasan, why is Shimon Soli Chayiv by 9 to 10? Because it's his bor. He dug the whole bor from the get-go. So 6 to 7, you'd also be Soli Chayiv according to Rabbanan. And 10 to 20, you'd also Soli Chayiv. You have a problem, because the Gemara says 10 to 20, they share the Kuliyama. He's going to Meiri, why is Shimon selling Lechayev? Because he weaponizes the death. So only someone that goes from 9 to 10. If you go from 6 to 7, there's no weaponization. If you go from 10 to 20, there's to be done a weaponization. And therefore, it stacks up that 6 to 7, they're both Chayev, which Gemara doesn't talk about. So Meiri is free to argue the Beit Yonasan. And 10 to 20, they share Chayivim, which the Gemara does talk about. The two other Nafka Minos we had is what happens if you weaponize a bar from 9 to 10, but not by redigging, which Reuven did. Oh, so I'm just like digging the same height you dug, as like it's my bar. What happens if instead of digging down, I add a brick? I dig high. So Reuven dug 9 tefachim, and then I add a little ledge on top of the bar. So if the mechiv is, if the chayiv is weaponization, that's why Ibn Hashem Shimon's chayiv, where I weaponize. I created a bar of Misa, so this bar. But if the chayiv is that my digging is removing your digging, because I want to dig down, it's like I redug your bar. Here, I didn't redig your bar. You used a shovel. I put a brick. So my putting a brick isn't misalik, you're digging. So you dug and I put, and maybe if the whole soul chiyav of Shimon, according to Rabbanan, according to the Shittim of Kubat says, is Silik Maaseh Rishon, here, there's no Silik Maaseh Rishon. And of course, that's at least Rabbah Salach. And of course, the Gemara's question, which really crystallizes this whole chakir, is what happens if Shimon digs 10, Reuven digs 10, Shimon fills up one, and then removes the one. So if the mechayev is silik ma'aseh rishon, this is real silik ma'aseh rishon, I've changed your bar. It's not like I just dug an extra tefach. If by digging an extra tefach, I'm a silik your ma'aseh. Certainly by filling it up and redigging it, right? Silik ma'aseh rishon, what about the other sense? If I dig the extra tefach, it's like I refilled and redug. It's like, but certainly if I refill and redug, right? Don't just say one. What if you sold up, you need the 10 tefach, and I filled it up, you know, 9 tefach, and I redug. It's the same case, tefach or 9 tefach, doesn't make a difference. So I was mamish silik ma'aseh rishon, I should be completely chayev. Whereas if the Mechayev is weaponizing from Nezek to Misa, you created Misa, and then I created Misa. It's like Yud Techaf. And that's the Gemara's question. And actually the language of the Gemara. So our Chakira, why Shimon is unique Lechayev according to Rabbanan, is really stated by the Gemara, by Rava, as part of this conceptualization. If I fill in the Tefach, and then I redig it, do I sell it and get the Chayev? Okay? This is the core and heart. So now if someone stops you on the street and say, what are the four Nafkaminas about Bar? I say probably three. One is Rashba Mechilta, you say what Shimon would have done. Two is, what if you can prove the Bor did it? Bor tested Misa. Rashba would say, you're chayv, Phil says, you're pater. Two days, you're more an aleph, an animal that falls, 4 plus 6. Like, is it potential or actuality? Empiricism? Three is Rabbi Rabban. Those would be like the highlights of Bor so far that we've seen. Three highlights of Bor. We scraped together some more information. So, for example, why is Bor pater from Galen? So, if you feel that Bor is normal, and the Kalim fill in, so you're really not left with much of a choice. You're pater from Kalim because it's a Kazar Zakasar. Why should I be pater for Kalim? Bor is like my animal. The same type of Chayiv. Kalim fell in. But if you feel that Bor is unique, that you're Chayiv because of the hazard you created, you may only be Chayiv for things that you imperil. And things that are not portable, like Kalim, you didn't imperil. So if Bor is unique, you have a logical solution for the Petur Kalim rather than just saying it's a formal discount. We go through this all the time. We'll get it to Karen Tom. Is Karen Tom a discount or is it a logical reduction? The Nafkamina would be Machlokes Rashi Tosfos. Would the Petur Kalim be formal? Then it may only apply to real Kalim. It's like there's a Kasev. But if the Petur Kalim is logically, because Kalim are immobile, then anything immobile, you'd be Pater. The Nafkamina is Tvua. The Gemara's conversation on Daf Yud, Rashi made it sound like, remember the Gemara saying Bor is Chayiv for Tamun. And it's contrast with Bor and Eish. Oh, Eish, you're Pater and Tamun, Bor, you're Chayiv and Tamun. What's the case of Tamun? So the Tazer, Bein Aparet, says, you know a case of Tamun that you're Chayiv and Bor? A bag full of chickens. Because the chickens are Tamun, and if the chickens had been burnt by Eish, you'd be Pater, Tamun. Since they fell into the Bor, you're Chayiv. And that's the offset between Bor and Eish. Whereas Rashi said, you know a case of Tamun that's Pater by Eish and Chayiv by Bor? A bag full of Tvua. If the Eish would burn a bag full of Tvua, oh, you'd be Pater, Tamun. Bor, bag of Tvua, full into a Bor, you're Chayiv, because there's no Petur Tamun. It says, tells us, what do you mean? There's no Petur Tamun by Bor? Fine, but there's a Petur Kalim by Bor. And Tvua is Kalim, it's immobile. One response of Rashi may be, no, I limit the Petur Kalim only to Kalim, not to Tvua, because it's a Gezeris HaKasav, the Torah says, Shor V'Ladim, Chamor V'Lo Kalim, and I limit it that way. Okay, we didn't dig deep into it, it's a later sukkah, but just since we don't want to skip over the Gemara. And the same thing, Tor, Bor by Karka. Why is Bor Pater by Karka? Another distinction the Gemara makes between Bor and Eish as it weaves its way through this long brice of Chomer Bashor, Chomer Bavor, Chomer. Remember, I just want to remind everyone, we flipped the script. We went ahead of the Mishnah and then went back because the Mechlokas Rebbe the Rabbana was too central to leave it as a secondary Shita. But between the Mishnah and this whole hunt for the Mixas Nisko Chayiv B'chol HaNezek, was a brisa that said chomer b'shor mibra'esh, chomer b'bor mibra'esh, chomer. That's how we got into this whole little conversation about tamun b'esh and tamun b'bor and karka b'esh. So just to keep the flow of the Gemara in your head, you have the Mishnah, you have the masa l'cherashati v'katan brisa, then you have the chomer b'bor mibra'esh, chomer b'bor mibra'esh, which leads us to like little discussions about tamun and karka. And then the Gemara says, let's go back to the Mishnah and find partial negligence leading to full liability. And then we get to the Bor Yud Tes Yud. We went further just because we really wanted to see the main show of Tes and Yud, Mechalogis Rebbe, the Rabbana. So the Gemara says, oh, you know another difference between Eish and Bor? Eish is Chayiv on Karka. My Eish scorches your land. I'm Chayiv. It's Bor is Patr on Karka. Why is Bor Patr on Karka? So it sounds from Rashi, just because there's no Hechatimsa. You can't really, there's no scenario where Bor is going to damage Karka. It sounds like there's no fundamental Patr on Karka. Whereas it sounds in the Rashba that there's actually, he quotes the Yishalmi, there's a lima to say the Boris Patron Karka. Again, why would there be a fundamental, logical, not just practical point to Rashi? There's no real Patron Karka by Boris. There's no scenario. Whereas the Rashba says, no, there is a scenario. I dig a pit and it makes your wall fall down. So my pit ruins your wall. We said it's hard to imagine what the case would be, but at least it exists. So the Boris is higher for the potential hazard. You only endanger things that are mobile. What are things that are not mobile? Kalim and Karka. So there's a fundamental lack of suitability to make Borachayah upon Karka. Okay, so we're going to stop here, Meretz Hashem. We'll continue tomorrow with the following cases. Number one, the three options the Gemara rejected for the Mishnah. Mishnah's partial liability, partial negligence, full liability is the case of Bor, according to the Rabbanan. What about the Gemara says, five shomrim in one leaves? Why does the Mishnah talk about that? What about Marba B'Chavila? Where a guy lights a fire, and then Shimon comes and adds wood to the fire. That's going to Rashi, not the Rambam, Marba Chavila. What about, the Gemara says, five guys sitting on a bench, and then a heavier guy comes and breaks the bench. The Gemara says none of these cases really work, but as it makes its way through these cases, the Gemara says, halachos that help us better understand Baba Kama. The stop after that is metaplim binavela. The Gemara darshins from the word of the Mishnah that the decrease in value in the carcass between the point of damage and the point of payment is only nizik. Think about how that changes our world of Baba Kama. And then we hit Chatzi Nezek Tam land. Machlokes in Papa and Vihuna Bib Yeshua. Tfisa and Bavel. Lotasim Dam Bivesecha. Okay? And then we're going to stop because the next Sugin is Kechais we just learned yesterday. So I'll leave that in Mirtz Hashem for the next Chazara. Bukhta, the next Chazara. Okay, just. It's so important to, when you learn Lamas, not to feel like he's, you know, loose ideas, come in, leave. We're going to learn Baba Kama. Spending a lot of time conceptually, because when you get down to the core of Baba Kama, these sheets, and especially just keeping your coordinates where they are in the sugya, really helps you, like, especially when you're skipping. Okay, here's a block. These are the issues. These are how they came up. I may not know every single, you know, cough and sneeze and cheer, but a general sense of how we got to certain things, what forced us to discuss them, why we discuss them, rather than just having ideas floating in air and just feel like, you know, where are we heading with all this, okay? Anchor. Text helps you anchor, okay? Okay, I'm going to stop here. 4 o'clock. I'll see everyone. 41. I'll